is KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Thank you for listening. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my two co-hosts, Joy Beadleson and Cece Iverson.
Thank you, Susan. And with this very difficult weather and very cold here in Iowa, we thought to bring you a few things to cheer you up, especially since Valentine's just passed.
And I'm particularly interested in things that involve our broader listening audience throughout the area. In a few minutes, we'll hear about a couple of important events taking place the first weekend in March. And after that, Cece and Joy are bringing their suggestions of things to do and to ponder as we look out at the snow.
Our first guest is Carol Horowitz, who hosts KHOI Previews the Arts. On the second and fourth Thursday at noon and 7 p.m., this month she had something to preview that is more appropriate for our countywide audience. So she's here to tell us about it.
I am co-producer of a play that's very, very exciting. It's called Play with Words, This is America, and it's created by students from the area middle school and high school. And so it's the three collaborative members are Children's Theater. I represent Children's Theater, and the Ames Public Library, Jerry Hyde, the youth specialist librarian. She is the representative from the Ames Public Library, and Sarah Compton, the outreach person from the Iowa State Center, is the third person in our trio of producers. This experience is the fourth of its kind. This is the fourth time we've done it. We do it every other year. We start in the Ames Public Library, and the Ames Public Library has a writer's workshop. The writer's workshop is facilitated by a professor of creative writing, David Zimmerman, and every second Sunday, students in the middle schools or high schools, and in fact, it goes through the summer, so sometimes we get visitors, young people who are visiting grandmas or aunts, they come and join us. And so those participants are given a theme, and so they write play or a poem or music or a story that we hope to adapt, and that's what we do. So there's a submission date, so the participants write works, and they then submit the work with themes. This year the theme was person of note, and so the submission date was in November. We then have Sarah Compton, Carol Horowitz, and Jerry Hyde. We three go through the submissions and select work of the writers that we think can adapt into a production, because the production is going to happen March 1, 2, 3, 1st, 2nd, 3rd in the Celebrity Cafe of the Iowa State Center of Stevens Auditorium. So we get the submissions, we select it. This year we have chosen one of our participants. We have a young woman who is now in high school, Sarah Rundle. We asked her to adapt these works because she has had... We have done this particular program in 2013, 2015, 2017, and now 2019. And Sarah has had her works adapted and performed. And so we thought, and she's a very skilled writer. She, in fact, wrote, when she was in middle school here in Ames, she wrote a musical about John Wilkes Booth, and it was quite good. So we asked her to adapt these works that we chose, and so she did. After the adaptation, we find directors, and this year we were very, very fortunate. We found two theater arts teachers. We have Kathy Devine Cook, who teaches at Valley High School, and Susan Vernon, who teaches at North Polk High School. And those two are putting together were the directors. And we have auditions. And so they chose nine wonderful actors. And what's happening is not only did Sarah adapt this work, but what's happening is that the cast is also now part of the creative process, and they're helping to kind of tweak the show. So it's a creative experience. It's an experience that is very special for these young people.
actually what happens, and because we have experience, these submissions, all of the submissions, even the ones that weren't chosen, are, because of the Ames Public Library, bound and put into an anthology. They can be, they're in circulation. And also the actual play. So if you want to go back to 2015, or even last year we did Scrambled Fairy Tales, that's in the library. And you can take that out and you can see the works that we started with and the works that adapted into the production. So on at 7:30, March 1st, that's a Friday, we're going to be performing at the Celebrity Cafe in Stevens Auditorium. And on Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock, March 3rd, at that we decided on that space. We had been, this project had been performed at Fisher Theater in the past. Celebrity Cafe has a new staging area. And so that's the area in Stevens Auditorium. If you've been there, it's the you go in the front door, which is in the north, and you come in, and there oftentimes there are previews of performances of that are presented there, and sometimes after performance receptions are in that space. Children's Theater, it happens, heard that they were renovating that space, and Children's Theater made a donation for the staging area. And so the staging area was supported, and that's the stage actually, was supported by some dollars that Children's Theater was able to provide for that stage.
I have a question about the involvement of Children's Theater. Besides providing some funding for the stage at C.Y. Stevens, what is their relationship to the whole project?
What is Children's Theater's production? All right. So Ames at the beginning, we have the workshop. That's the library, and Children's Theater's responsibility is finding the talent, the adapters, is finding the directors, and really my role as the liaison from Children's Theater, I am the major producer, and so I attend the rehearsals and the auditions, and Children's Theater does too. I mean, the board of Children's Theater is part of the creative process. And also, before the productions on March 1, 2, and 3, we will provide a reception. We will have a little reception. Some of the actors will come out and provide beverage for our patrons. This is kind of standard. I mean, we're good at this because this is the fourth time that we've done this, except it's in a different venue. We do the creative, finding personnel.
How do people get tickets?
You can get them at the ticket office at Stevens, the Stevens ticket office, and then there's a website. You can contact center.iastate.edu/playwithwords. There's a telephone number, is 515-294-7389, or you can call 515. For more information about the production, you might want to call 515-292-9454. So that's the information number. But you can get tickets at the door on Friday, March 1st, the evening, 7:30, and on Saturday and Sunday, March 2nd and 3rd, at 2 o'clock. And what we say is we utilize the creative skills of the Ames area middle school and high school students. And this is the fourth production in this series, which we began in 2013. Students attend a writer's workshop at the Ames Public Library. A theme is presented. The participants can submit plays, poems, stories, etc., that will be adapted for public performance. Directed by Kathy Devine Cook and Susan Vernon, Play with Words, This is America will be presented March 1 through 3, and tickets are available at the website and the telephone numbers I earlier described. It's at the Celebrity Cafe at Stevens Auditorium. It's original, and people should attend it because they're going to support area kids. But more than that, you know, I love this project because I know that this is so good for these young people's resumes and for the kids, the young people we have had in the past since 2013. And these students, it's on their resume that they had one of their works performed for the public. that's very exciting. And I will say that I was at a rehearsal last night, and the weather's been horrible. And because the weather's horrible, we've had to cancel some of our rehearsals. But they are so responsible, these young people, and they're there. And their parents, of course, have to support this project as well because they take them there. And I will say that the Ames Community Theater is a very, very important support group for us. And we will be borrowing costumes from the Ames Community Theater. Susan, the good thing about Ames, and I've been doing things in Ames for a long time, and mostly in the art, is the collaborative spirit of our community. And I mean, the fact that these three entities, these two major entities, the library and the center, is willing to collaborate with Children's Theater, which is a very small organization, and making something like this happen. So it's wonderful for the kids involved, and it's very important for the audience to support this kind of experience.
Thank you, Carol. I think that this is something to really brighten the winter. In case you just tuned in, we've been listening to Carol Horowitz telling us about a children's theater production of Play With Words, This Is America. That's just one of the events we have to look forward to on the first weekend in March. The other is the Central Iowa Symphony Young Artist Concert, which has only one performance on Saturday, March 3rd at 3 p.m. in Ames City Auditorium. Their annual celebration of young musicians is always an audience favorite, and this season's Young Artists Concert is no exception, with pianist Helen Mao, sixth grader at Ames Middle School, as one of the artists. Helen began studying at the age of five. She won the Iowa Music Teachers Association piano competition three times, 2015, 2017, and 2018, and was chosen as IMTA state winner in 2018. Helen also attended Ames Has Talent 2017 and won first place in the elementary group. This year, she has been named the winner in the Music Teachers National Association state junior competition. Violinist Yehoon Shin is a senior from Emmitsburg High School. He began private violin studies at the age of five in South Korea. Yehoon has been highly focused on orchestral and chamber music. In addition to studying solo repertoire, he had his first orchestral experience at the age of nine in Oberlin, Ohio, and later became a member of the nationally renowned Cleveland Youth Orchestra. He was an Iowa All-State Orchestra violinist in 2017 and 2018, and was the concertmaster in 2018. In addition to the traditional showcase of these remarkable soloists, Central Iowa Symphony will share the spotlight with Gilbert High School Choir for a stirring performance of Schubert's Mass in G minor. Please join music conductor Eric McIntyre for concert conversations 45 minutes prior to the performance, as well as for a reception afterwards. For a look at the program for the concert, go to our website. Also, we hope to have the music conductor, Eric McIntyre, with us next week to tell us how they chose the program and what it was like to work with these talented young people.
Susan, that's a lot to look forward to this March, especially for school children and family. But there are still several weeks to wait, you know. And sometimes in the winter it can be really, really lonely, especially for those who are snowbound. Seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD, affects a lot of people. Historically, we only worked outside. 200 years ago, 75% of the population worked outside. Now, less than 10% worked outside. Symptoms of SAD include sometimes fatigue, low mood, lack of motivation, sleeping more than usual, and feeling a little bit despair and sadness.
Well, these are some of the suggestions that we all came up with, especially Cece and I did a little research. I had been talking about this for a long time with my sister and other friends, and found that a lot of them need these suggestions.
Yes.
Since we have snow in the forecast. So, Cece, do you want to talk about the Dawn Stimulator?
Yes. Well, I thought in this research, I found that a Dawn Stimulator is a little alarm clock that comes with a light. And then the alarm, it starts very, very low with a very low sound, and it also has a light. So the light starts turning on very slowly, like the sun is coming out inside your room, which is, I thought it was really cool. And I'm going to get one.
It's recommended by the Mayo Clinic also to really help with that and also other issues like sleep disorders. McClure took me to Everett Flowers one day, and we were getting pictures of their new windows. And I went inside, and everything was springy. They had little new toys that are little chicks and rabbits and just so much color and tulips and all the flowers you think of for spring. And it was just gorgeous, and it just made me have hope. Hope that someday, soon, spring will be here in Ames.
And every month you can get a bouquet from Everett's by purchasing a card from KHOI. Could you tell about that?
Yeah, the card is a card that you take to Everett's. You come to the studio and buy it from us. It's $20. So you go and take the card every month, and they mark the card, and you get a small bud vase size of flowers, so about three flowers that are beautiful that they put together, and you can upgrade to a larger bouquet, and they also have discounts on the card that you can use for beautiful gifts that they have at Everett. It can be used in many ways. It's a great value, and you can upgrade to a bigger bouquet.
It's all right.
And then you talked about exercise. You like yoga. I like Zumba.
What do you like, Susan?
What do you like?
I like stretching.
Okay.
Yoga.
And that seems to help you when you do yoga?
Yes, especially now that it's winter. My partner and I do yoga together three times a week, and then we go to the gym twice a week.
Yeah, because I've noticed, too, many men are starting to like yoga. Does Fritz do yoga?
No, he doesn't do yoga. We do strength training and stretching. He hates stretching. I love it because I'm very good at it. It's very hard for him. And strength training is strength training we do according to our own abilities.
Which is great. I'm so happy for you, Susan. It's very important for health to exercise.
Yeah, it really helps get your heart rate up and give you energy for me. I do the bike and the treadmill, and sometimes I swim. But I found as a group event, like Zumba is good for me, but I can't do the young people Zumba. They have a special Zumba called Zumba Gold for older people like me. That can go at a slower pace.
Speaking of older people, I'm in a special strength class called 50 over 50. Actually, most of us are well over 50. In fact, we have at least one or two have been over 90 and still doing all the exercises. And this is a class, though, that has sometimes on rare occasions, a majority of men, but we usually have at least two or three. And it's a great motivator because we chose our class because Fritz enjoyed so much some of the other men in the class.
Yeah. That's really great. I like the name of it.
Spiff?
Yeah.
Spiff lift? Yes.
Yeah.
Spiff.
And then also they talk about letting the sun shine in. I'm a kind of person, I like the sun to come in my window in the morning and wake me up. And when I get up, I open all the windows. And I really feel that is very important in the winter since we don't get out as much. Are you a person that's like gets up and opens all the window, or do you?
Well, I don't open the windows. I used to always have the windows open at night. But what I do enjoy is the sun shining on the snow outside.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a south-facing window, a bay window, and my very favorite time of year to be there was in the winter with sun on the snow, because in the summer it was shaded. And so it wasn't so bright, but in the winter it was just glorious.
Yeah, well, I sometimes could get really low since I relocated from Florida. And for us, the majority of my basic coping skills when I had difficult time were outdoor activities. So now that I live here in the Midwest, I had to be very creative. So this really, really helps, Joy.
Oh, definitely. I know when I worked with people from California, and I lived in Florida a short time, call it the Sunshine State for short, for that purpose, it does shine every day, most of the day. And so it is hard being in a state where it's cold and you can't get out as easily, and the sun is often hidden by the clouds part of the winter. Cece and I also talked about watching comedy movies or shows, and she was watching a show right before we started and really laughing. It really caught my attention. I really like Murphy Brown, and I'm hoping it comes back for another season. It started after over 30 years, and I was so thrilled. And I really enjoyed watching that, and I have a lot of favorite movies that are usually musicals, combo comedy, like Mamma Mia 1 and 2, Maude, Moonstruck. I love Cher. Do you have favorite movies?
Yes, I love comedy. So right now I am binging on One Day at a Time, and it's a Cuban American family in Miami. And I think it's really funny. It makes me laugh a lot, and I can relate.
It's a remake, then, of One Day at a Time?
Yes.
Oh, that's really good. I didn't know that. And then the other thing we want to talk about is, like, learning new skills, like learning to cook, learning going to garden shows, maybe just going to a coffee house. A lot of people find that really soothing. You know, have a watch party, get a new hairdo. I thought about that. Really lightens me up to get a new hairstyle or just get my hair done once a month. I know the Sound of Music is coming, the butterfly garden. You know, does anybody have anything to say of those?
Yes,
that's your favorite?
I'm a Puerto Rican, so the main thing for us is dancing. So whenever I feel blue and it's winter and it's nothing to do, I'll put my salsa on or my reggaeton, and I'll tell my boyfriend, come on, let's dance. And that always cheers me up.
And how does he feel about that?
Oh, he's a very good dancer.
Really?
Yes.
We found out something new. We won't say who it is. And also aromatherapy. Have any of you tried aromatherapy?
Not this winter.
Okay. Is there a reason? What does that mean?
I'm in the process of becoming a minimalist, so I'm not shopping as much as I used to.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to maybe spend the little money I have in nonprofit and community service and community action.
Yeah, that's another thing, volunteering. As we do right now.
Well,
that cheers a lot of people up, too.
Well, actually, I have to say that what really cheers me up and keeps me going is my weekly responsibilities for Local Talk Wednesday, because I always discover new people, new stories, new places in central Iowa. And I suppose I've actually become a small town, central Iowa junkie. I thought, oh, there's a new library opening in Cambridge. They have a new librarian in Cambridge. And it's so much fun to go and discover what's happening and to feel central Iowa is full of people who care.
Yes, very involved.
They care. They are proud of their communities.
Yes.
They're working on their communities. And it's wonderful to know about that. And that's what I really enjoy doing every Wednesday.
And not only that, Iowans are very hardworking individuals. The work ethics here are incredible. And I am very happy to be part of this community, too, that is so hardworking and dedicated to giving back and being involved.
Yeah, and I think, get out there. Get out in the snow. We can make snow fun, too. Sledding for me as a child was a thrill. It can be as an adult, too. We can still do that. And you mentioned going out and doing snow skiing.
Cross-country skiing. Years and years ago, I mean like 40 years ago, when we realized that it was going to be snowing every winter, we were going to have a lot of snowy weather, we decided we were going to find something fun to do, and we started cross-country skiing, and we loved it. And so, for example, the kind of weather that we've had this week, sun on the snow and not much wind, oh, that would be perfect. We'd, be able to ski out our door, even, if the roads weren't clear. We had a place nearby. We, at that time, could get over to Beaker Golf Course, and we could spend a couple hours skiing. We had a group that we skied with. We'd ski before breakfast and then have breakfast together. It was just a wonderful experience, and it got to be. So you'd have a winter when there wasn't much snow, and you'd say, hey, this is a lousy winter. It snowed in Kansas. It snowed in Minnesota. Why don't we get some?
Have you ever gone sledding, Cece?
Yes, I just recently went sledding with my partner at the farm. It happens they're located very close to a nice hill. So our third snowfall, we went, and we went sledding. It was lots of fun.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
I really enjoyed it. I haven't done it lately, but when I was young, we just had a blast. We made airplanes out of the sleds, and everybody had a different kind of sled later on, but it was just a blast.
And what about cooking? Do you cook?
I don't cook a lot. I like to cook. I love the new show Julie Tabouli on PBS. She's just phenomenal, and she's a lot of fun and very happy. And, of course, she cooks my favorite food, Lebanese food, which is just amazing with taste and not too hot, real delicate seasonings and just fabulous personality. That's my favorite new cooking show for you foodies out there. You love to cook, Susan. One of the things you do in the winter is have people over for dinner.
Oh, well, I have people over for dinner for potlucks. I discovered years ago that potlucks are great because everybody feels responsible. And so it's not like you're knocking yourself out to entertain these people. But when they, as soon as they walk in their door, they're hosts too. And mm-hmm. it's up to them to make everybody have a good time and to pitch in and help. For me, this is the only way to do it. I used to give dinner parties, and I remember inviting people who had something in common. I knew they had something in common, and they didn't know each other. And as soon as they met, they took an instant dislike to each other, and they were unpleasant throughout the entire meal. And when the dinner was over, I was furious with them. All my effort was totally wasted. I was exhausted for nothing. And
but I didn't go to one of those parties, did I?
I don't do that anymore.
I've gone to your happy parties.
You've gone to my happy parties.
Thank God.
But that's because now they're always potlucks where people contribute something. And mm-hmm. when they contribute, they feel everybody should have a good time.
When I participate in a potluck, I really like when people taste my dish and they make that face, the happy face. It's really satisfying.
Another thing, since we're talking about food and going to potlucks and gathering together, and you're really thankful after you go to those events. So Susan and I were discussing about sending out thank you cards, which I apologize to everybody that haven't received a thank you card from me. I really appreciate everything people did for me. But that's really important to send a thank you card. And I know we do that a lot at KHOI when we have events. We try to make sure and appreciate people.
Well, I'd like to comment on that because with the changes in the mail, when I open up my mail, I rarely get a personal letter except thank you notes. Mm-hmm. And so thank you to all the people who've sent me thank you notes because those are so special. And this is KHOI Community Radio. And your three hosts for today, Susan Franzen, Cece Iverson, and Joy Beadleson, have gathered a basketful of ideas to brighten your day. We decided to collect all the ideas we could think of and present them in the hopes you'd enjoy them too. And we'll have a song to start it off.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They learn much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
February is a heart health month. The American Heart Association has this as their fundraising month, but it's also their month of making people aware of what causes heart attacks. Joy, I think you talked to somebody over at the Heart Association.
Yes, I did. I talked to Melissa Murphy. She's a volunteer with the Heart Association of Des Moines.
I volunteer to increase awareness about women and heart disease. At the age of 40, I had a heart attack. My only symptom was my first symptom, and that was chest pain. Really important for me to get out the word that it happens to anybody of any age, and it's not just your 65 to 70-year-old man. It can be a 40-year-old healthy female that has the heart attack.
Okay, and you were 40 years old, correct, when you had a heart attack?
I was, yes.
And I was told you were a nurse, too, or still are.
Yes, so I was a nurse previously on the open heart surgical team down at Mercy in Des Moines. You would think a nurse would be able to recognize when they're having a heart attack, but the first thing you do is you deny. And mm-hmm. you think it can't be a heart attack, that you're actually just to have, you know, indigestion or gas.
Mm-hmm. So what did that feel like for you? Was it just light symptoms of pain in your chest, or was there anything different that you noticed that alerted you?
Yeah, so I just was woken up about 2 a.m. I was sleeping, and I just felt some chest pain. And I kind of thought, well, this is probably just indigestion, you know, gastric reflux. So I tried to go back to bed. And when I laid on my left side, that's when I noticed that the symptoms got worse. And that was really my only symptom. And then my husband and I talked about it, and I actually grabbed his phone and started Googling women's heart symptoms, because I'd always heard they're a little bit different. And by that time, I had started to have pain that was radiating up into my jaw on my left side. And then my husband just said, you know what, I don't know CPR very well. I'm calling an ambulance. And thank God he did, because then all the other signs started to happen.
Wow. So did you have the pain in the left arm, like some people say, at all?
No, I didn't. My only thing was really my chest pain. And then as it continued on before the ambulance, once the ambulance got here is when the other symptoms started. I started to sweat profusely. And then I had that pain in my jaw. But some women, and that's why I work for the I volunteer for the American Heart Association, is because women's heart attack symptoms really go undiagnosed. And a lot of times it can feel like you have the flu. And you may not have what I call that true Hollywood heart attack, where you fall on the ground and you're clutching your chest in pain. It's just very subtle. And it comes on slowly over time. And I think that's why it's so important to get the word out, especially during this Heart Health Month, that, you know what, if you're ever in doubt, you need to get it checked.
And what do you think is different as a woman compared to a man?
You know what, I think the difference is that women, we think more we're going to be affected by, like, breast cancer, because you see the pink ribbons and the Susan Komen Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really think it's going to be a heart attack. And when I started volunteering for the American Heart Association, that was when I found out that, you know, heart disease is actually the number one killer of women. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. It takes more lives than all cancers combined. And to me, that's a really sobering statistic. Luckily, I recognized my symptoms, and I had an excellent cath lab and cardiologist down at Mercy, and they were able to put two stents in, and, you know, now I'm back to normal. But sometimes people don't recognize their symptoms, and it's too late.
Wow. So once the ambulance came, what happened after that?
They did an EKG in the house, and the ambulance paramedic looked at me, and he said, you're having a right-sided heart attack. And he said, I'm starting the STEMI protocol. And being a nurse, I knew that that wasn't good. And they have thanks to the American Heart Association, there's like I call it like a toolbox, like you're going to go fishing. Mm-hmm. And it has the STEMI protocol in it, where they give you baby aspirin and other medicine. They call down to the hospital ahead of time. And when I was wheeled into the emergency room, I was met by the cath lab staff and also by a chaplain. And to see a chaplain waiting for you when your ambulance arrives, it's a very sobering moment. And thank God they do have that protocol, because by the time you get in the ambulance to the time you get to the cath lab, 90 minutes or less, that's their protocol, so you know you're expedited, and that's what saved my heart muscle.
Why? What is a right-sided heart attack? What does that term mean? Do you know?
It just is where the vessels are located. So
okay.
My right coronary artery was 100% blocked, And I'm a little different than some of the other heart attacks. Usually when you think of a heart attack, you think of somebody that's had plaque build up over time, you know, cholesterol, high cholesterol, and then you have a heart attack. My heart attack was caused by a dissection. It's kind of rare. It's called SCAD. It's spontaneous coronary artery dissection. It's something that comes on very fast, and your artery dissects. And when it dissected, it caused a blood clot. So there was no blood flowing to the bottom of my heart, which then caused my symptoms, my chest pain.
Okay, that's good to know. And I'm glad you survived. My gosh, that would be scary to me, very scary. So it's good that the pastor was there to also comfort you.
And my family. And I think the big thing with us is that it was not just I that went through the ordeal. It's my family, it's my husband, and it's my kids. And when you're young, you have kids that are, you know, 13 and 18, and it's a shock because then, you know, you have that doubt every day that what if it happens again?
Mm-hmm. And you were, I'm sure, about your children. If it would happen, that you might not be around to raise them. So I know that I'm not a mother, but I know others would be a great concern.
It was. You know, you look at the ambulance driver. I remember I told Ryan, he was my paramedic in the back of the ambulance. I looked at him and I said, you have to save me. I need to be around for my family. Mm-hmm. You know, do whatever you can. And that's something when I went to bed that night, I didn't ever think that tomorrow might not come. And that's why I'm out here saying, if you have any symptoms or if you have any doubt, you need to go to the hospital and let them tell you it's nothing. Don't self-diagnose because mm-hmm. that's wasted time.
Do you think as women that we sometimes ignore symptoms more than men?
Yeah, because we're busy. We just want to keep going. We have things we need to do, and we think, oh, it's just stress, it's anxiety. I've just pushed myself too hard, and, you know, you can't do that. And I think with men, the symptoms are more in their face, right? It's something that's debilitating, and it causes them to stop, where with women, it's more subtle. And we can continue to go about our day, and it doesn't stop us. And then it's too late when it does actually stop us.
Okay. And as a nurse, what have you done since your heart attack? Do you have any protocol or any things that you try to do with your patients and as a volunteer to raise that awareness? I know you're talking with me, and that's part of it.
It is. And actually, the week after I got home from the hospital, you know, you go from working 40 hours a week to sitting on a couch and then going to cardiac rehab. So I started a blog. It's called heartmom210.com. And I try to blog once a month and get my word out to other survivors that, you know, we're on this crazy roller coaster ride, but we're not alone. And just kind of talk about different things such as two-handed, hands-only CPR, which anybody can do as a bystander, to eating healthy, to recognizing heart attack symptoms, to also just really talking to people out in the community, you know, to women's church groups and to other survivors. And then just the need to exercise and diet. We can't prevent everything, but we can sure try our best to help out.
So what are some of the things women can do and to prevent a heart attack as far as food goes and stress?
Yeah, I would say limit your stress. It's easy to say, but you actually maybe take a walk when you get all worked up at work. If something's bothering you, go outside, take a walk. Don't park right next to the door. You know, make yourself walk a little extra, take the step. Eat a heart-healthy diet, such as, you know, fresh fruits and veggies and lean meat, and cut down the fat and the cholesterol. And one simple thing is, you know, in Iowa, we don't have really a lot of fresh veggies in the winter. But if you're going to eat green beans, you rinse them twice before you take them out of, you know, once you take them out of the can and water, to just decrease some of that sodium and just decrease your sodium level as well. And the big thing is know your numbers. A lot of people don't know their cholesterol or their blood pressure numbers until it's too late. You know, get it checked. Talk to your cardiologist. Could you be on some medicine, or could you reduce it by diet alone? A lot of us, we don't want to step on the scale because we don't know our weight. Well, we need to know all of our numbers to be prepared to help ourselves.
So that's really important. Some fitness centers do that, and also the doctors can keep track of that, I know. What about diabetes? Because I know a lot of people have diabetes, and it's a concern if your cholesterol and blood pressure are high to have a heart attack. Is there anything that you'd want to say about that?
A lot of these we call comorbidities, such as diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. And when you have one of those, you're at a higher incidence of having heart disease. If you think you're pre-diabetic, go talk to your doctor. Try to get your numbers down. Anything you can do to reduce your risk, you know, that's years on your life. And, you know, if you look at it and, you know, being a woman and this being Heart Health Month and us really focusing on the women, I mean, it's just as prevalent in men. But, you know, heart disease and stroke will claim one of the lives of one in three women. So if you take a picture, and I did, you know, at the Go Red for Women, you know, I stood by my mom and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
One out of three of us will be affected by heart disease and stroke. I already was that one person. And that's why this is so near and dear to my heart, to get it to stop and to say, you know what, there, we have to shine light on what's going on with heart disease and stroke and say enough's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because stroke is also really high in women.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you mentioned that, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yep.
So since your heart attack, what have you done to change your life and try to prevent a heart attack?
You know what? The biggest thing I've done is just really try to exercise more.
Mm-hmm.
I was an avid exerciser before my heart attack. I ran half marathons. And now because of the dissection I had, my cardiologist has asked me not to run. But I, you know, walk.
Mm-hmm.
I try to walk at least five times a week. I eat a heart-healthy diet, you know, which we discussed earlier, and just really trying to bring my stress level down. Before my heart attack, if something stressed me out, I just let it, you know, fester and just blow up, and now I'm just like, you know what, it's not worth it. So I try to really minimize my stress level.
Yeah, I know some people take yoga. I found yoga hard for myself because I was hit by an airbag from a drunk driver hitting me, and so my equilibrium's a little bit off. So I changed, once I realized that's too much for me, to mindfulness training, and I thought that was really life-changing. And I've heard other mm-hmm. people really like it also, both of those things, yoga and or mindfulness training. What do you think about those?
Anything you do individually, you know, yoga, mindfulness training, going for a walk, you know, getting some fresh air, just being silly, you know, turning on music and dancing with your kids, you know, just something to kind of reset yourself is really good. It's up to each individual person kind of what resets them and takes down that anxiety. You know, is your job stressful and you hate it? Get a new job. You know, life's short. I always say it's not a dress rehearsal. We get one life. And this heart attack is showing me that, you know what, we better live it to the fullest.
Music is always one of the best ways I know to brighten my mood. Here's a song I think will do the trick.
And the song that we got is from Pharrell, Happy. Enjoy.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. By the way, because I'm happy. Clap along if you
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Joy Beadleson and Cece Iverson and I, Susan Franzen, have been your hosts for today. Other voices you heard were Carol Horowitz and Melissa Murphy.
You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org, and you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show's postings in your newsfeed.
Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong and Happy by Pharrell Williams.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join our team as reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. Again, that's 515-292-2878. Or you can go to our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know if you would like to become a member or renew your membership today. Just look for the big yellow donate sign.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.